Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. Today, more an emphasis of truth, something that I've talked about before, where if you're an avid listener, or maybe if even if you're a new listener, you might go, oh, that's veiled racism. And that's my take on immigration. And a certain take that I've had is this. It's that the problem isn't just that you have uncontrolled immigration. It's that you now have a larger percentage, because it's uncontrolled, who don't even, as they're replacing, in essence, by percentage, they're replacing Native Americans. I just mean people have been here their whole lives there. They're replacing that knowledge of what America is and what it is that makes it more exceptional versus some of the other countries. And I said that's part of the problem, because now you have people voting who they don't understand what made this country a little bit better, something that was worth moving to, something that at least on principle was less corrupt. Now, you can argue it's a lot more corrupt in many ways, but the fundamentals of the country are very important and very exceptional. And if you bring a bunch of people in, then they don't understand that. They just came from a country where you voted for the lesser of the two dictators and hope that their corruption helped you instead of their corruption helped somebody else. Now, that's what happens in the United States right now, since we turned the executive office into the fucking king, certainly in the last 4 years. But nonetheless, at least our principles say otherwise. Our founding document says otherwise, freedom of speech and so on. And it is true that our freedom of speech is more robust in the United States. It's more laid out. And where I got this idea, and I want to tie it to just the fact that someone else is saying the same thing as me, just in a slightly different context, is I was listening to Tinfoil Hat. I forget who that is, but it's a podcast with a guy who is also a comedian, but he has a lot of good guests on. And one of them was Ben Swan, who I've heard, I know of, but I've never followed per se. And they were talking about this mass migration that occurs because of the way the U.S. performs war. We just destroy societies because that's the better profiteering, and then that creates migrants. And he pointed out that with all the open sieve southern border migration, that the open sieve is the motivation for people to bring people across the border for any number of reasons, but that we have bills where they said, why don't we put these people in the military? And yes, that seems insane, but remember, half of us politically are fucking insane. So how can you have a warrior class that is going to uphold the Constitution if they don't know anything about it? I thought this is a great point, and it's an extension of the point that I made. It's like, okay, during COVID, many people left the military. These people grew up on American principles and foundations. And when they saw those American principles and foundations going out the window, under the guise they had no self-autonomy to take something that was test, that was in beta, put it into their body and potentially damage them, they said, I guess I'm getting out of the military. Well, these are the folks that were more like me in the military, actually, was for 6 years. And in a way, 6 years too long. I I respect the military. I was in the military, but I'm not really a military guy. But I was in the Navy. And so you're taking these people who are long-term, understand what freedom is about, what America is about, and they're going, okay, this is not it. And if you're going to have a military that specifically violates my freedom, then it's time for me to leave. And then we have a dearth of people in the military, except that now it turns into either DEI or social activism weirdness, you know, like transgender surgeries being paid for. And it turns into just somebody like, I can be in the military. They would have never thought to be in the old traditional military. They wouldn't have. And these people do not have the same devotion to American principles and foundations, or probably even the knowledge of it. Like, oh, you're going to pay for my trans surgery? Awesome, I will join the military. What about the whole protecting the country? Oh, fuck that, I get to call myself a woman. Woohoo! No, I'm exaggerating. Not everybody's motivations are that, but I can tell you the percentage of people whose motivations are that have gone up 500% in the last several years. if not 1,000%. But then the extension is this idea of, hey, crazy people in the Senate and the Congress generally, rather, are like, well, we could do with all these people that just have flooded the southern border. And it's really, guys, 10 to 20 million. It's enough to replace some of the more rural states three to seven times. And what do you do with all these people? Well, as they're taking low-level, unskilled jobs that lower people on the socioeconomic scale could have gotten, but now they're being given to illegals, there's that. But what else do you do with them? Like, well, we put them in the military. Now, this has been a thing a little bit. I mean, I know that even as I was growing up, now granted, the Philippines was in American hands, and as I was in the military, you know, you get Filipino sailors, and I believe some of that was you might get a quicker citizenship, but you get to serve in the military in the meantime. Now, that is a fundamental problem, not because every Filipino won't be able to serve correctly, not at all, but because it's the opposite of having somebody protect your country's interests, because they have to know them, they have to be from there, they have to cherish them. And in my opinion, you should, as you become an American citizen, there should be no sweet deal of join the military and it can be quicker. Or you can just join the military immediately if you're illegal or if you're undocumented, but now we're, quote, documenting you. Just throw and go to the military. You know how much of a safety risk that is? But worse, it's a risk on the privacy and the principles and the fundamentals of the country. As Ben Swan was saying, these people are coming from shitholes. They left for a reason. And they're like, yeah, just throw them into the military. Freedom of speech, for instance, is the exception to the rule as far as how wide open freedom of speech is. In America, man, if it's of a public figure, you're supposed to have vigorous freedom of speech. If it's political, you're supposed to have vigorous freedom of speech, at least fundamentally, principally in the Constitution and case law. Not in the last couple of years because they've used private platforms to enforce their censorship, but at least technically, you still have it. Like, technically, if you were to find that the government was using private platforms, telling them to censor, like, oh, we have fucking found, then that is a fundamental constitutional violation. But remember, the Supreme Court did not decide on the case. They said, you probably don't have enough to even go forward with that, with Biden. But the principles are there, and the people who know them the most are the people who either come here legally because they cherish those principles, they come through the process, and they take classes, and they understand the exception to the rules that the United States often is as far as robustness of individual rights. Those people, I trust, but even them, they should have to wait 5 years before they can join the military, 5 years after they're citizens. So what that does is take away you could still do sleeper cell as a motivation, but it takes away the motivation for someone like China to say, just get somebody in and do the military program. Then we've got Chinese sleepers in the military. Now, they may not do anything unless it's really needed, but they're there. You have to show an allegiance to a country to be in the military. How do you show an allegiance to a country when you're just showing up and saying, I should be here because it's my right to be here? Where's the allegiance? You didn't even come in the right way. But again, the issue is that as those people have left the military who were the more traditional members of the military, who believed in the country, who believed in protecting its rights and its fundamentals and that type of thing, instead, then you get replacements from fresh invaders. And Swan points out, you know, it's not even that there can't be good Venezuelan invaders. Sure, they got tricked by NGO literature. Sure, some of them just want a good job. They probably thought maybe the way that if they followed these rules, they were legal. Now, that's not true in some cases because some of them were prisons being emptied. Some of them were. I don't care. Don't roll your eyes. Some of them were. But how can you be a naturalized and loyal citizen when you've just invaded a country? And worse, and this is really the point again, you don't understand the principles and the fundamentals of the country. You don't know them. You came from a shithole country, and now you're here, and now you're in the military, And now we have the mercenary problem, right? There's always been a mercenary problem. They're not there for the loyalty. They're not there for their citizens. They're there for their money, and they just do what they're supposed to do. Supposed to kill that person, I kill that person. It's not about loyalty and faith and the Constitution for me. Remember, you know, classically in wars, it would bring in foreign mercenaries who had no devotion otherwise except just, oh, you want me to, I'm very good at killing. Okay, well, you can hire me if you're very good. You know, we did it with the private contractors and everything else. But I just thought that was a good emphasis. But Ben Swan, the same thing that I'm saying is that you're replacing people who really understand the fundamentals of the country that make it different. And you're replacing them with not just, okay, naturalized, they came in the right way, citizens, they went through all the training, which I don't even know if there is much of training anymore, but at least technically there was supposed to be at some point. They passed the test, they raised their hands, it's a wonderful, incredible day to become an American citizen officially, and they did none of this. They invaded purposely, crossed the border, gave themselves up as the criminals they were, and then they got bussed or planed deep into America. And now they're supposed to be the ones that are fit to be in the military? Crazy. But it's true. Again, they can't know the fundamentals of the country. This is a massive problem, not just for percentage of votes being replaced. You know, like when you get 12 million people coming in, and it's 12 to 20. Guarantee you it's 12 to 20. At some point, it was something like 3,000 a day estimated. You don't think it's just that high, but mostly that high. 3,000 a day is 3 million a year. Actually, I did that math once, and don't quote me on that, but it was something like, it may have been that it was 10,000 a day. But regardless, it was enough every year to replace a state the size of, say, a Nebraska or an Iowa or an Oklahoma or rather an Arkansas or a Kansas. Every single year. And that's at the low end. And it's been going on for 3.5 years. And never mind the migrant crisis. That was one of the last chaos events of the Trump administration. If you remember that fall, all of a sudden there were giant migrant caravans coming up. Very systematic, very organized, very on purpose by people who are international criminals and should be shot for treason. Or if not, just shot for violation of international law. Or taken as prisoners of war because they're invading. But those folks cannot know the fundamentals of a country. No matter, even if you expect that they're well-intentioned, even if you expect they are, even if you just went like, I don't know, it was just chaotic down there and we had to leave. What do you know about America? Fucking nothing. Well, how are you going to uphold the principles that made this a better country than yours? I have no fucking idea. So then when it comes to voting, they go, I don't know, this guy's promising me more that I like than that guy's promising me, which is already a bad enough situation for people who've lived here their whole lives, who are dumb fucks and don't understand what the limitations of power are supposed to be, and that one person's not supposed to deliver any of that shit, and they don't understand separation of powers and 10th Amendment is what's supposed to be local and what's not. They just think it's a feeding trough, and then they wonder why their rights are taken away. But it's worse yet when, again, they've come from somewhere where those fundamentals and principles are not even in the documents. So anyway, yeah, good emphases from Ben Swan. Again, that was sometimes he'll cover deep topic. He's not any great academic, but he has enough background that he'll at least ask good questions. Let me look real quick. I forget what that is called, but it is The tinfoil hat with Sam Tripoli. And this one was Ukraine corruption, October 7th, false flag, and January 6th, conspiracy. And Ben Swan's talking about this about 43 minutes in. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to the Scales of Truth. Hope you had a great Labor Day. And just keep on keeping on. We've got to be truth tellers. I was saying to Kim earlier, Kim Schultz, my co-host in Comology 411, we're basically buddies now. We're just constant confidants. And I was saying, here's what I admire. Truth tellers. Truth tellers are what I admire. What I don't admire is when somebody tells the obvious truth, like a Tulsi Gabbard says, hey, we've got Ukrainian labs that are bio labs. Don't you think it's important we better secure those since there's a fucking war going on? I don't care what side you are. That's a truth teller. And I may have mentioned this in a previous episode, but then Mitt Romney, just the perfect example of a, I want to be popular and class president, and that seems like that might be controversial. So rather than letting it exist, I'm going to character assassinate the person who brought it up. But we do have biolabs. It's been admitted in Congress. We have biolabs internationally, and certainly in Ukraine. So wouldn't it be a good idea to secure them? Oh, she's a traitor. How dare she say that? The former Tulsi Gabbard, I don't care what freaking side she's on. Truth teller, someone that I admire. The latter, Mitt Romney, someone who downplays the truth, who acts like there's not risks where there are. That person I despise. People go, open border, it's because immigrants should be able to come in whenever. And they avoid all the risk, and all the risks are conspiracy theories. Like China probably going, well, why don't we just get a few agents in there who have allegiance to China while we're there? Or Venezuela going, let's just empty the prisons. That way we get all these bad motherfuckers. Or as we arrest somebody, go, listen, we could either arrest you or you could go to America. You better take a picture of when you get to America, because if we see you back here, we're going to arrest you. Whether that's it, whether it's drug traffickers, whatever the motivations, when somebody acts like there's no risk whatsoever to a fucking sieve of an open border, that's not a truth teller. And I adore truth tellers, no matter their origin story, and I despise people who look at truth tellers and just dismiss and character assassinate. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to the Scales of Truth. Again, happy Labor Day, and let's keep on keeping on.